I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Mala Studio 1B, this is UFUF, the podcast. UFUF 96. We've done this 96 times. This is Tony, your Southern rebel bully opinionist, along with my partner, a man who I've never seen fly the Confederate battle flag, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One Kiss the Ring. Fran, how are you?
Good evening there, Johnny Reb. Yeah, I'm from Jersey. You're from Ohio, though, dude. You're not a...
Our state flag it's called the Swallowtail. It's the most unique flag, state flag, in the Union.
Is it the only, if I'm correct, it's the only non-square
Yes,
flag in the
it's,
Union,
it's,
right?
It's got the swallow, right. They call it, the, right. Unofficially they call it the Swallowtail, officially they call it something else, the Bergener, so, I don't know, but yeah. Yeah, dual tails.
Oddly enough, it's the state that's given us the most U.S. presidents.
Hell yeah!
That's a little weird.
Think about it. And the most drunken U.S. president, U.S. Grant.
I just thought that was obvious when you say Ohio and U.S. presidents. Because really, what else is there to do?
So we're going to talk about... Ohio's a beautiful state. It's a beautiful state. Lots of things to talk about tonight, including the Confederate battle flag.
Yeah.
Use of the N-word.
And the user of the N-word.
User of the N-word. Just all kinds of stuff. Tonight's podcast is all over the place. A special appearance from one of my sweethearts, Ann Coulter.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's going to need a moment alone, folks.
The only reason we don't have a bobblehead of her is because I can't find one.
Yeah, because all those old white Republicans bought them all up, dude. What do you think they're doing with them?
All right. This is me and Francis. We're loving life. We're going to get to shotgunning the news. We're going to do Is It Racist? Are You Kidding Me? Signs of the Apocalypse? Hardcore Politics? We've got a full podcast. Let's get to it.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
All right, Francis, out of the gates.
Your girl.
Ann Coulter. Taking a swipe at Governor Nikki Haley.
Yeah, it was, you know, she prefaced it by saying, I want to like her, I need to like her, she's a Republican, she's conservative, but she's an immigrant, she doesn't know American history. Talking about Nikki Haley, Governor of South Carolina, and a discussion over the flag, the Confederate flag. But Nikki Haley, not only not an immigrant, she's actually born in South Carolina. She's not a carpetbagger, she grew up there. You know, I think a little flippant. I mean, then take the other part of that is, so an immigrant can't know U.S. history. It's been my experience that immigrants tend to know more U.S. history than the indigenous personnel of this country.
Ann Coulter is the rights equivalent of
Bill Maher. Yeah.
So
she's the lightning rod. But
I agree with maybe 75%. But you know, she says some provocative things, I think, sometimes.
This just seems so unnecessary. Like,
it was.
Why would you just diss this woman? Like,
yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, she's an immigrant. She doesn't know U.S. history. Well, you don't even know her history. I mean, you know, it's just kind of, there was just everything wrong with that. I didn't get it. Like, I don't know. And it plays into the overall theme that liberals have of conservatives, which is you're just all a bunch of honkies who hate everyone who's not your color. And so she just played right into that by saying, oh, well, she's just an immigrant because she doesn't look white.
But she kind of does to me. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, no, if you see her, she doesn't. I wouldn't think that she's not from here. And, you know, but so anyway.
Well, we're going to talk about this a lot more later on.
Yeah.
The flag itself. But Ann Coulter, she's out there sometimes. Bless your heart, sweetie. You want to have a Pinot Noir sometime? Give me a call. Francis, we have our first ever UFUF news flash. Just like Fox News, when they do the news updates and it's something
it's
that was
always,
from yesterday.
It's always breaking, yeah.
Matt and Sweat are still missing.
Our favorite New York escapees.
Which reminds me, I was mentioning to you, if you know, Spanish dictator Francisco Franco is still dead. If you don't know that, Google it, look it up. It's from the early days of Saturday Night Live, a running gag they did. But that's what I feel like with this Matt and Sweat thing. Because they're still missing.
And they had them, it appeared like they may have had them cornered in some backwater area of New York. And it came up empty. However, they claim that they found their DNA at a cabin where they had stayed. So
yeah,
I don't think I want to know the rest of that, but
I don't either, because the way they made it sound like they sprayed their DNA everywhere. But they're not there, and they can't find them, and they're saying one of them's barefoot, but it doesn't sound to me like they're barefoot and struggling.
It doesn't sound like they're being hampered. I mean, you know, the manhunt is getting pretty large, and these guys somehow are a step ahead. They're kind of building a little bit of a following, which is dangerous.
It is. Okay. Still looking for Matt and Sweat. Francis Spieth, Jordan Spieth, wins the U.S. Open. Tiger crumbles.
He missed a cut, yeah. Shot an 80 on the opening day, and you could hear him on the cameras. This was Fox's first attempt at covering the U.S. Open. Their microphones on the course were so loud, you could hear the ball when it hit the cup. I mean, it echoed in the TV. But anyway, so you hear Tiger as they're done. Everyone in his group shot a lousy score. And when they get done on the 18th, he looked at the other two guys as he's shaking their hands, laughing. He goes, well, that sucked. And then the next day, he didn't play too bad, but he missed the cut. Jordan Spieth goes on to win. Now he won the Masters, and now he's won the U.S. Open. He's got the first two majors of the year. The Open Championship is next in July. If he wins that, then he's one step away from immortality and winning the Grand Slam. But more importantly, during the course of the broadcasts on Saturday and Sunday, people uttered the phrases, well, this is more exciting than when Tiger dominated the field. So I think the PGA Tour is gearing up for life after Tiger. And his press conference prior to the start of the tournament, Tiger's press conference, you know, and you're a student of like verbiage and question and how people ask him, why they ask him, and that kind of thing. You listen to the questions the reporters are asking him, and it's all about stuff he did in the past and all the new kids. Like, no one's asking him about his game. So I think they're all kind of figuring, well, he's done. Like, this is it. So they're asking him about, hey, do you remember the first time you played the U.S. Open? They're asking a bunch of nostalgia and then all about the new kids. Nothing really about the current Tiger Woods program going on, and I think the message is pretty clear that we may have seen the end of him. I mean, this could be it.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, whether you like golf or not, if you're versed in any kind of sport, you've heard his name and you know he's a big deal.
Yeah, it's the end of an icon in a sport.
I mean, this guy dominated like no other for 10 years.
I mean, if you're not a hockey fan, you know who Gretzky is.
Right.
That kind of a thing. Yeah.
And so, and these kids, these young kids, you know, they're tearing it up, man. They are not afraid. And so this kid lit it up, and people were uttering the phrase, well, the tour could survive without Tiger now. I think for a couple years here, the last 3 or 4 years, it was unsure. And now the way these young kids are tearing it up.
Well, Fran, as long as you got four damn televisions in your den watching golf.
It's a struggle, my friend.
You know,
it's
a struggle. I'm sure you could support it on your own.
One television and two computers.
I just saw the Instagram pic, and it looked like you had four screens, my friend. So.
Well, no, one was split. One was picture in picture.
Oh, okay.
Right, so you're right.
Okay.
But it's three actual devices.
All right. Well, you're supporting the PGA on your
own. My neighbors hate me because I destroy the bandwidth at 7 in the morning when these tournaments come on.
All right. Next. All right, Fran, so Pooty Poo's making some noise.
Meanwhile, in things that actually matter, that
talking
no one seems
Russia,
to be paying attention
yes,
to.
Yes, in the Baltic states.
You know, they've not backed off, and now they're saying that if the Baltic states deploy their missile defense systems, Russia's going to target them before they get these things into place. So if they feel or see these batteries moving into position, Russia, you know, according to reports out of Moscow, they are going to attack the Baltic states to prevent them from getting their missile defense system up. I mean, I don't know the legalities, but that sounds like a declaration of war to me. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, some of the people that I listen to, for example, Dan Carlin, who does a podcast. He does a podcast called Hardcore History and Common Sense with Dan Carlin. He said 6-8 months ago, ISIS is a threat, but Russia it still leads the pack when it comes to threats.
Romney said in 2012, right? During
the
debate.
Oh,
and
yeah. And that was.
He got lambasted.
He got lambasted for that, but it seems to be coming true now because the Russians are saying, hey, we're getting serious about some shit. And yeah, it looks a little dangerous.
Yeah. But I mean, they're openly now declaring that they will attack, you know, otherwise peaceful countries just because they throw up a missile defense system.
Right.
I mean, you know, so I don't know how long we're going to just avoid dealing with that, but at some point, we're going to have to deal with
it. Well, a member of the Russian Security Council, Yevgeny Lukyanov, said they'd better think about other things, the deployment of missile defense system elements that are targeting our strategic nuclear forces. That is where their problem is, as they become our targets, is what he said.
Yeah, that seems pretty serious to me. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't,
when you got people with strategic nuclear weapons, that could be a problem.
And they start using the word targeting, then, you know. Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
so.
We'll take another look at that area.
And, you know, we talked about this a year ago, Fran. I mean,
we were calling it before the tanks were rolling.
This is a serious issue because of the NATO response, backing them to a corner, all that stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of coming to fruition.
I mean, as our tagline says, we're just two jerk-offs with an internet connection, and we figured all this out.
And we know that.
That's the part that's frightening.
I know it. Yeah. All right, next. All right, and to quote Star Trek, Spock, actually, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Or the one.
Or the one. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one.
No, it's the needs of the few or the one.
Or the one.
That's the follow-on to that.
Okay, well, I screwed it up. But the point is, the Obama administration is changing the hostage policy, and I think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty controversial. So he's saying that as an individual family, if a member of your family is taken hostage, you are now free to pay the ransom if you wish, which up to today was illegal.
Right.
The government's not going to pay that. I think some people are misunderstanding. The government will not negotiate with terrorists. But they're not going to bar the families from coughing up their own money to get a family member back.
But it creates kind of the same situation.
Well,
of people saying, well, I can kidnap somebody and negotiate with people for money.
Right.
Which previously we said
it was illegal for citizens to negotiate.
If you kidnap somebody
ransom.
From the United States, the best thing that's going to happen to you is that we might not kill you if we can't find you. Because otherwise, that's what's going to happen.
Do you think it's really open season now on U.S. tourists? I mean,
well, you know, it's open season in Mexico because they pay ransom, and so people get kidnapped all the time for ransom. Yeah. And so I don't know that it's open season tomorrow or the next day, but it makes it seem like that could happen. I mean, that's the philosophy, that's the eventuality.
Certainly not deterrent, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, like so many things the Obama administration, it's just complete lack of foreign policy knowledge is what it seems like to me.
It just seems so random. It's just such a random, like, no one, was this an issue? I mean, I don't even understand. Was this a hotbed issue that needed to be changed?
Well, the thing that I read was basically like they came out and said X number of people, and I don't remember the number, X number of Americans are hostage around the world, so get your people if you can. Well, shit. That is such a lack of, again, a coherent.
So what would you say then? And here was the one devil's advocate comment I saw out of the millions that said this guy is feeding terrorists money, which this guy being Obama. But the one devil's advocate comment was, but what if it was your relative and you had the means to get them home? Because here's how it goes down. It ain't like the American government is riding to the rescue and bringing these people home. These people are rotting where they are, right? Because they don't negotiate. So if now all of a sudden the U.S. government says, it's legal if you want to spend your own money and take your chances to get them back, we're allowing you to do that, would you do it?
And I get that, yeah. It's always different if it's me.
Right.
But here's what I think. It is that part of this problem is that they illuminated that the State Department doesn't communicate very well with the families of hostages. So there's a problem there, but I think there's other solutions than this one.
And say you're on your own.
Like, create a better process for talking to those families and for figuring shit out. Because, yeah, if my family's taken hostage, do I want to do everything I can do to bring them back? Of course I do. Do I understand cognitively that that's bad for everybody? I understand that as well. Again, it's back to the Spock quote, right? Like, you're doing it for the greater good. And that sucks when it's you.
Right.
We all know
that.
You're
going to sacrifice your kid for the greater good. That's, you know, that's the question. I would question how much money is ISIS really going to generate from, you know. Because are you going to squeeze Fred from Idaho for millions of dollars? You know what I mean? So,
sure.
I mean, that kind of thing. In other words, if we're on vacation in Italy, we're not getting plucked off the street. We are being nothing to no one.
Well, I hope not, because nobody's paying for me.
Right, but I'm saying, but
I mean, unless you want more than $50,
so it's not going to. I just don't think it's going to be open season on normal American citizens, because the policy is the government's not going to pay to get you back anyway. That's always been the policy. All this is saying is, if you are a family of means and want to take a run at it, you're now legally able to do so. So, and what would it do me any good to grab you?
Yeah,
if your family can't rub a turnip together, you know what I mean?
I get that, Francis. And I know that you are quick to call out slippery slope arguments, and you're good at that. But on the other hand, a lot of people that travel abroad have more than a turnip to rub together.
Well, right. Well, that's true.
If I see an American in Sri Lanka or somewhere, I can assume that they've got more than, you know. So I don't know. And again, I'm making the slippery slope argument, say X leads to Y. But that is kind of the bigger philosophy.
Well, ultimately now, I guess it'll remain to be seen, because this wasn't something up for a vote. He's changing the policy.
Right,
I guess we're going to find out.
All right, next. All right, normally we chat about things before the podcast. We haven't chatted about this one. Your boy and our spiritual leader,
friend of the podcast,
Pope Francis, he jumped in it.
He jumped in two different issues. I think one he was wrong on. I think the other one depends on where you come down on it. So he jumped into climate science, I want to say a week or 2 weeks ago, where he said that the governments of the world need to do something about it. It's real, it's a problem, and they need to fix it. It's their burden to fix. Okay. I mean, I guess, you know, wherever you come down on the politics of that is how you're going to decide whether you agree or not. But that was an interesting for him to get into that. Because that is nothing but a political battle, right? I think we've already kind of decided that really has nothing to do with the environment. That has some more to do with who can swing the biggest political hammer.
Right. Well, our position on the podcast is that we understand that things are happening with the environment, but in the public context, it's largely a political issue.
Right. Right.
We'd all like to save the environment,
right,
but it's
right.
being used for political
right.
gains.
Right. So the other issue I thought was, I think he really misspoke on when he came out and said any company who makes guns are not Christians. Then he went on to say something about the lack or the slow response of the Allies in World War II, especially in respect to Poland and the Blitzkrieg. So what are you saying? Like, the people who manufactured the weapons that you wanted employed in World War II are Christians, but the guys who make guns now are not? You know what I mean? Like, that's a giant muddled mess that is not related. And he related it, I guess, because people are, you know, the U.S. is having these mass shootings, and somehow he said the gun makers aren't Christian, and I don't know how that connects.
I think he waded into some stuff that, and you know, he's kind of a changer, I guess.
Not his area, I don't think.
Or
put it this way, the people who are, because look, regardless of what your faith or no faith or what you believe, the guy's a head of state ultimately, right? The Vatican City is its own country. If people probably are not aware of that, and he is the leader of that country. Now, it's a population of like 800, but I mean...
Right. He's still the leader of the Catholic Church, which
is... But my bigger point is, he, like any other leader of a country, he has people, right? He has PR people, he has speech writers, the whole bit. So when he puts out a cyclical, which is...
what's called?
Canon, what a pope makes decrees, somebody wasn't preparing him properly for this issue. And when he spoke and said that gun owners are not Christians, or gun makers, I should say, are not Christians, you know, he waded out into something he wasn't prepared to swim in, and he's really not all that informed, because I just don't know how he makes that connection. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a lot of loose ends there. And he just kind of chucked that out there, and I just think it was a bad move. It's not a fight I think he should take on, not in that context anyway, to question the morality and the faith of the people who manufacture guns.
Pope Francis, call us.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
We'll talk.
Phone a friend. We're here. We're here,
we'll,
bud.
We'll talk. We'll bring you on the podcast if we need to.
I can speak your own language, right? If you need it. If you can't translate.
So just don't get crazy. All right, let's go to hardcore politics.
Let's get hardcore.
Francis Jindal is in.
But he's more in. Importantly, newsflash, we have someone who's actually not getting in. Yes. Our first non-participant, Jim Webb, senator from Virginia, author of the GI Bill, the one that I got my degree under. He decided he's not going to run. He was sniffing it for a little bit. I think he would have, and he's Democrat. So if he gotten in, I think he'd have been right automatically running neck and neck with Hillary. Clearly would jump Sanders and O'Malley. And who's the other chooch coming in from the dude from Rhode Island? We can't remember his name. Chafee.
Lincoln Chafee.
Right. He jumps those three just by saying he's thinking about running. Had he actually announced, it'd have been him and Hillary. Because this dude, he's sharp. He's a smart cookie. He's a politician. He's polished. And because of that, I think that's why he's not getting decided. Man, this is a minefield, and I'm not touching it. So he's not going in. Jindal did announce, so he's official now. We've been calling that for a while, I think, but he made it official. He's going to be big on education,
big on defense. I watched this coming. I watched his announcement speech. Kind of typical conservative platform. But the difference is, I think that. He's not, you know, he's not the stereotypical white male.
No, right. If you don't know him, he's Indian by birth.
We're gonna have to figure out his, you know, is this another birther? He's from India. Obama's from Kenya.
Yeah.
He can still be the president.
Was born in Louisiana. His parents were born in India. So the country.
I'm just making a joke.
Yeah, I know you are. It's not very good,
it does amuse me that the Republican Party has one old white woman and one old white dude, and the Democrats.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party has a woman, a black guy,
a black doctor, yeah,
an Indian. You know, they got the whole spectrum.
A crazy old coot from.
And
the Donald
is two in the polls, which we admit the polls don't mean a lot at this point. But he's number two.
But we're getting.
And the other day he came out and he said, "I don't even know how could I be number two to Bush." Love him. Yeah. Love him.
He did an interview on CNN. It was just horrific. But, you know, and as somebody said, I think it was Seth MacFarlane, who writes Family Guy, said his hair looks like those old reel-to-reel projectors when it gets stuck between two frames. Like, you know what I mean? Like his hair, like it stops here and then the next frame is right there.
Said it's his real hair.
I've seen him on a golf course. I would agree with that. It is real.
He's just got
is the mega of all comb-overs.
Magnificent comb-over.
But
he's number two in the polls at this point.
So, you know, Jon Stewart's doing this bit about how the comedians are just, you know, praising God that Trump has gotten in. And, of course, he has no chance. And then, of course, it cuts into the poll showing he's number two. You know, and Stewart, he just gives this classic Jon Stewart face. Like... he's a contender. I mean, he's automatically a contender.
He's in the race.
He's going to be at every debate now. He's already punched his ticket to that. So, So Bobby Jindal has announced that that's another person into the Republican
Francis,
field.
I am a serious contender. Yeah. You're underestimating me. If you think that I'm not, I I'm surprised. I'm disappointed that I'm in second place to a Bush. Come on.
Yeah. And so somehow Rubio has fallen from the top.
Yeah.
Rung, because he was, you know, and maybe that was because Trump got in. You know, every time
a candidate gets in. Well, and this is an even more crowded field than you and I were talking about 6 or 7 months ago.
It's staggering.
With Jindal coming out today. I was shocked. Because I thought, certainly, Jindal's not going to join the race at this point.
Well, the reason I like him, and as I told you, I have some friends from Louisiana who hate him. I mean, just flat out hate him. But the reason I like him is he is, you know, he's smart. The dude's well-spoken.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he just gives that, like our friend TK used to say, look, when I come in a room and I need to talk to someone, I go to someone who looks like they're in charge. He looks like he's in charge. You know what I mean? When he stands on that group of people, he's going to look like the dude who's in charge. So maybe he can shake it up. But every time a candidate jumps in, the polls shuffle. Because
right. And it'll shuffle
people
again.
Change allegiances and things.
And Bobby Jindal, he's got a sexy wife.
Oh, yes.
That don't hurt.
Nope.
That don't hurt, yeah. Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. I haven't even heard a word out of Lindsey since. I mean,
I saw him stand on the podium next to what's her name when she said she's going to take the flag down.
He's right from there. So, yeah, but and they're already killing him because last year, I guess this question, I'm assuming that this flag debate apparently comes up every year. This year, it's just taking on more seriousness because it's surrounding this mass shooting. But in recent years, Lindsey Graham has said, look, that's who we are. Now he's saying, oh, take that down, you know, which means you're nothing but a politician. Yeah. Come on.
They all are.
Opportunistic. Right, but the problem is he has quotes that they're dragging out of the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is, and this is today's crisis. Tomorrow I'll be something else. But now, so now Jindal's in there to share the wealth.
We got one more in the race, and Trump's number two.
So here's the question before we sign off of this bit. Who's next? Who's out there that hasn't signed on?
This has got to be it, right?
Well, every time we say that, some other jerkweed jumps in the race.
Well, we got the guy from Ohio.
Kasich, has he?
He's still thinking about it. He's not declared.
Has Santorum declared?
Oh, yeah. Santorum's in.
Because it's not a race without...
And I don't know who else. Let's see. Let's go to our candidate tracker.
I'm surprised we haven't heard from Haley Barbour.
Well, so Ben Carson is in.
Yeah.
Let's review. Lincoln Chafee is in.
Who couldn't remember. Let's stick with Republicans.
He's a Democrat. Of course, Hillary's in. Ted Cruz. Carly Fiorina, who's getting some traction. Lindsey Graham. Mike Huckabee.
Oh, right.
Bobby Jindal. Of course, Martin Romali, the Democrat. Who knows? He's not. George Pataki. Rand Paul. Rick Perry, Marco Rubio,
good God.
Of course, Bernie, he's a Democrat, Rick Santorum, Donald Trump.
What about the dude from Wisconsin?
He's not declared yet.
He's not declared. So Scott Walker's going to be next.
Well, here's the ones we're still waiting on. Joe Biden, who came out just this week and said, I'm going to make a decision in a couple of weeks. Yeah. So he hasn't said no.
But that's what that means.
Okay.
I don't see it.
I don't see it either, but he hasn't said no. Chris Christie has not declared yet.
All right.
He could still throw his hat in the ring, and that would affect the race. John Kasich from Ohio, who would be a great candidate if we didn't have 20 already.
I think he rises right to the top.
Scott Walker has not declared yet.
Another one to go right to the top.
Of course, James Webb, we already talked about him. He said no. And that's it. Jeb Bush is declared. Ben Carson's declared. I'm going over old material. Yeah.
So all right. So we're looking. So the next name we're looking to see is either Scott Walker.
I would say Scott Walker, or the governor of Ohio. Yeah.
Kasich.
John Kasich.
And Christie is probably a distant.
And Christie. I don't know. I would think
he's got to see.
Because he came out with an interview the other day somewhere and said, well, he talked to his family and they were supportive, but he still hasn't come out, right?
I gotta say, he's looking at the field thinking.
If I was Christie, he should run as a Democrat at this point.
Oh, he'd
right?
mop up. I think he would mop up. I think of Democrats. I mean, they got four. I don't think you're gonna see anyone else. With Webb saying he's not gonna go in, which the only rational person apparently in the whole process. And Chafee.
Well, Sanders is getting a little excitement, but yeah. that's not going to go anywhere.
Well, no, he's the Ron Paul of the Democratic Party, yeah. right? I mean, so he'll go have his own convention when he doesn't get invited, you know, because Chafee, Lincoln Chafee, the former governor of Rhode Island, and Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland, both Democrats, they'll be out before the first primary because they're not going to have the money to stay in it. I mean, 10 people attended the Martin O'Malley announcement.
Has anybody heard from Martin O'Malley? Yeah.
Not since his announcement.
Right.
Or Lincoln Chafee. So, you know, so it's going to be Hillary and Sanders, and then he'll be out after South Carolina probably. So all Democrats right. will be down to one, and who knows what the Republicans will be doing.
We'll see what happens. They got some good candidates in the race, but they're going to need to...
You aren't lacking for choices, that's for sure.
You're going to need to narrow the field sooner or later. All right, that's tonight's Hardcore Politics.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. They're going to put you all back in chains, back in chains, back in chains, in chains, in chains.
Since what kind of racist thinking do you have?
All right, Fran, so we haven't done Are You a Racist for a long time. We're going to talk about a couple of topics tonight that deal with racism.
Big time.
First off, Confederate battle flag being eliminated. I'm just going to throw out my opinion, and we can talk about it. We were talking before the podcast. I think the only representation of the Confederate battle flag I've ever had in my house was when my kids were little. They had a matchbox car that General Lee,
right,
and it had the
painted on the top. Right.
It was on the top or on the hood or something. I mean, I'm from Ohio.
Right.
I don't give a damn about the Confederate thing, but in the South, it's kind of popular.
Yeah.
I will say that initially, I just thought it was dumb. Then I kind of changed and thought, yeah, this is a symbol we need to get rid of. Because collectively, we all need to say, yeah, let's get rid of this and let's move past it. Right? And so I was glad that Nikki Haley came out, the governor of South Carolina, and did it. But like so many things, now Amazon, Walmart, everything, they were all getting rid of the... And so we just overreact to everything because, as I told you before, I get the feeling that some people think there's a big switch somewhere that says racism on, off. And if we can find that and turn it off, racism will get... That's not the way it
right.
is.
No, right. You can burn all the Confederate flags you can find. It's not going to end anything. But I don't think they should fly over a government building.
I agreed, yeah.
Anywhere where taxpayers are coughing up their money, it is the flag that represented treason, right? I mean, these were treasonous states. So, the reason they were treasonous, if you read the Declaration, you know, a lot of, you know, out of the woodwork historians have come out and said, well, the Civil War was not about slavery. Well, read the secession declarations from South Carolina, from Texas, from Kentucky. It's about slavery. The reason they're seceding is because the government was infringing upon their right to own slaves. That's what it says. They wrote it. This is why we're leaving the Union. They'll tell me it's not about slavery. And the flag represents that.
And I'm in agreement with that. But like the thing I saw in the news this morning was like, what other state flags have representations? And one of the flags that I saw flashed up on was the state flag of Tennessee, which the colors are the same. But the three stars have nothing to do with the Confederacy.
Right.
It represents the three distinct areas of the state.
Right.
East Tennessee, Central Tennessee, and West Tennessee.
Right.
West Tennessee being represented by Memphis and the Delta. Middle Tennessee being represented by Nashville and the country. East Tennessee being represented kind of by Knoxville, Chattanooga, and Appalachia.
Right.
And by the way, I saw the 20 worst sports logos the other day. And the Tennessee Titans was listed on there, and they were like, well, why is this thing with flames and a T and the three stars? What does that have to do with anything? Well, if you live in Tennessee, you know what has to do.
What the three stars mean, right.
It's come from the state flag. Right, it represents the whole state.
Right. Now, they are one of the worst teams, so their logo sucks.
Yeah, but I'm just worried that we overplay this.
Yeah, oh, absolutely overplay. Well, that's our thing, right?
Yes.
That's what we do. I'm not saying ban the flag. I'm saying take it down off government buildings. Mississippi has,
I'm in agreement with that,
and Alabama have smaller versions of the Confederate flag woven into their state flag. Alabama has said they're taking in theirs off. I don't know what Mississippi's doing, but you know, no state should, no government entity in the country should fly it. But if Walmart wants to sell them, who gives a crap? I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? Do you think Bubba Watson is giving back to General Lee? He bought the General Lee, by the way. Did Bubba Watson, yeah. Golfer from, he's from right. Went to Georgia, went to University of Georgia. He won the Masters twice. He bought the General Lee. Well, it, the Confederate flag is the top of that. It's on the roof of the car. It's what makes up the whole roof. Paint job. Well, he's not giving that back, and he's not going to paint over it. And he shouldn't have to. He's a private citizen. If he wants to do that, by all means, go have at it. I don't care. It doesn't affect me either, one right. way or the other.
And then, because, well, I think we talked about, you're from New Jersey,
right.
I'm from Ohio.
Right.
We don't care about this.
But people, like you're saying, to your original point, people are going to be racist. That doesn't matter what you do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because everyone, the governments of all the worlds have, you know, somehow think that they've eliminated race, you're still going to have people who are racist. So making them get rid of their flag is only going to make them more so, not less. It's just so dumb. It's so backwards thinking. But the government shouldn't use it. That's it. That's all I'm saying. State houses, get rid of it, and I think it's a done deal.
And I agree with that. And like I say, I agree with collectively. And you know, I heard Alveda King speak earlier this week, and why she's not a representative of not just the African American or the black community, but of all of us. Because, you know, one of her messages was, is a thing that I believe, and I think that we agree on this, is it, one of the things that she said when she was speaking is that, you know, most of us are not racist. It's a minority of people that engage in these actions. And we need to concentrate on that positiveness on the people that are willing to move beyond. It's like I was telling you before. Murder's a bad thing. People still murder other people.
Right.
That's never going to change.
It's against the law.
It's against the law. You get killed for it. Racism is a bad thing. Some people still engage in it.
Right.
It's never going to go away. Separate it out. Call it what it is. But don't indict the entire society, those of us who want to move forward.
Right.
And Alveda King, she is so... She has a wonderful message. If you've not heard her speak or heard her message, you should. She's the niece of Martin Luther King. And she has really a wonderful message, a message of positiveness that goes against the message. Because, see, what have we been hearing for the last year? White cops are out there gunning down black people.
Yeah.
Well, that's just bullshit. Statistically, that's just bullshit.
Ain't no one got time for statistics up. That's the
and
problem.
I know it, Francis.
And that's the problem, right? I mean, that's because that's where the
truth media's whores and they sell. Right. It's not about selling papers.
Headlines get clicks.
It used to be about selling papers. Now it's about getting viewers and clicks.
Yeah.
And that's what gets it. But it's at some point, the society has to come together and say, as a group, we're all better than this. There's bad people. But don't indict all of us because of the actions of a few.
Right. And the one guy who's taking that message to heart is Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard. We brought up Dukes of Hazzard to General Lee. The guy who played Cooter actually was a congressman from the state of Tennessee.
Right.
Owns a store in Gatlinburg right here.
Yes, he does.
In Dollywood country, about an hour from us. He will not remove the Confederate flag from his store, any merchandise.
And he doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't.
And
he's
here you
a private
go.
Citizen.
And here you go, Francis. Just some good old boys. Never meaning no harm.
No harm.
Beats all you ever saw. Oh. Been in trouble with the law since the day they were born.
Look at you. All right.
The Duke Boys. I hated that show. And my sons loved it because it's just one of them simplistic nonsense.
And Hazzard County is a real place. When we used to drive to my mother-in-law's in Lexington, Kentucky, drive right through Hazzard.
Old Uncle Jesse.
So Cooter still runs his store up there, still selling the Confederate flag, said he will sell it. He's not taking it down. And he's a private citizen. That's called exercising freedom.
Yes.
He's a private citizen. He can do what he wants.
All right, Francis, what do you say about Obama saying the N-word?
We talked about this before we started. And I didn't think it was that big a deal because the context, like you were talking about, the context that he used it in, but you've kind of, I guess, maybe think about it in a different light because I didn't really consider it about the,
well,
about
here
the
was my point
of the office.
He went on, so if you're not familiar with this, President Obama went on a podcast called WTF, which stands for What the Fuck, with Mark Maron, who's a comedian. I've listened to the podcast before, and it's kind of like us. It's just one guy.
Not as good as us.
He's got a lot more listeners, but it's not as good.
Yeah,
it's just one guy talking about shit. And Obama went on there, which I don't understand why he was on that podcast in the first place, but he used the N-word, and in the context he used it, it wasn't bad. He was talking about the use of the N-word, but my perspective is, respect the office. Don't use it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as Clinton getting a blowjob on the job. We'd all like to get blowjobs on the job, but when you're the president of the free world, respect the office, okay?
Yeah. When your job involves nuclear launch codes, it's probably best if you don't do that.
Best not. When you're the leader of the free world, nobody wants to hear you using the N-word. Understand the office that you're holding. And that's kind of my point.
I mean, the podcast in and of itself is pretty lowbrow. I mean,
absolutely lowbrow. Why is the president doing that?
Well, that's probably the bigger question, right? You know? I mean, what was the point? Does he owe this guy a favor? Does he know this dude from somewhere? Yeah, I don't know.
And if you're not familiar with it, what he said was, just because we've eliminated the N-word, except he said the word, just because we've eliminated the N-word as a rude thing in society doesn't mean we've overcome racism. Absolutely relevant point. But don't say the word, man. We just don't want to hear it from the president.
Here's my only, I call it an objection, I guess, if you will. I hate watching news when one of these idiotic anchors is getting ready to say that this person said, and he says the N-word. Like, what are you, five? Just say it.
Right.
I mean, just say it. We know you're not calling somebody that. That you're just reporting that, you know, professional ball player X said that, or nightly news anchor Y said this. Just say. I mean,
well, that's what Louis C.K. does,
so
right?
Dumb.
He does a comedy routine, and he says, "The thing I hate is when a newscaster says the N-word, and they say the N-word." What they're doing is they're making you say it in your head.
That's right. Well, right.
Without them saying
it. That's right. But it just seems so childish. I just...
I know.
It seems so amateurish. Just say it.
But if we're trying to get rid of that word, then you don't want to hear the president saying it.
But can you get rid of the word?
No.
I mean,
you can't.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But then the president saying it in a podcast says, well, in context, then I can use it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but then that's... But isn't that one of the freedoms, as we know, of podcasting?
It is, but again...
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It's me and you. We're not the president.
Right, I'm with you.
Have more decorum for the office.
No, I'm with you on that.
I could get a blowjob doing my job, and it wouldn't be the same as the president doing it. As a matter of fact, if we got any volunteers, we'll conduct a test.
And I bet we won't get impeached. I'm just going to bet.
Because you got to be the president. All right, son of a... Boop. All right.
Did we decide anything? Was either one of those things racist?
No, we didn't. They're all racist. Holy shit. Let's go to Are You Kidding Me? I got a couple of things.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
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 Are you fucking kidding me?
Ran two things up tonight. Number one, have you seen Jurassic World?
No, I'm not a big fan.
Summer blockbuster. I've seen it. Good. You know, it's Josh described it as popcorn, and it is. It's about a theme park with dinosaurs.
Right, they bring dinosaurs back to life. Everything we've talked about, apocalypse of the apocalypse.
It's just a summer blockbuster. Not bad. But then I read today that one of the dinosaurs that they have in the movie is called like, and I'm gonna mangle this,
it's like
a Pachyosaurus. No, it's like a Pachyosaurus or something.
Pachyosaurus.
Like. Pachyosaurus.
Okay.
And in the movie, they refer to them as Pachys.
Okay.
And so a guy in England said, well, that's a racial slur for Pakistanis in England. So this is a racist movie. That's what the article said, Francis.
Doesn't that make him a racist?
I don't know. It's the same thing as being told in the Air Force that you can't say flip chart anymore because flip is a derogatory term for Filipinos when you're not even aware of it, right? He's like, well, Paki, that's a derogatory term for Pakistanis in England.
Okay, so the flip chart thing, I thought I'd never heard anything more crazy when we weren't allowed to call the single seat area in a fighter aircraft the cockpit anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a crew compartment. But we just thought that was dumb. That's dumber. The flip chart thing is dumber.
Well, this is even dumber because in the movie they refer
to
these.
To be beat. I mean,
they were. They refer to these dinosaurs as pachys rather than call them pachyosauruses.
Well, so what, we can't call elephants pachyderms now? Is that what you're telling me?
You can call them that, but you're a racist.
Well, okay, then I'm a racist.
Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, my second thing.
Oh, I know where you're going with this one. I can guess where you're going with this next one.
Well, the head of the EPA, Gina McCarthy, said climate deniers are not normal people. You're not normal.
I can see you already fired up your drone getting ready to head up. Look, I know where you're going, right? This is the government suppressing people who don't agree with them, right? Is that where you're heading?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yes. Look, I wrote a blog post back in the 70s, and you saw it, and I posted links to it, that in the 70s they said it's the new ice age.
Okay, let's just clarify something. He wrote that last year.
Last year.
It was about the 70s. He didn't write it in the 70s.
Yeah, no. It was last year. Right. It was about the 70s.
About the 70s when they were talking about the ice age.
And they said it's the new ice age. We all agree that our climate's changing and there's issues that we need to be aware of. But for the head of the EPA to come out and say, well, if you're a climate denier, you're not a normal person. Like, okay, let me tell you, Gina, I'm fucking locked and loaded, babe. Go to hell. The government can't do that.
I wish we were periscoping that. He can't even get the words out of his mouth. He's so fired up.
Francis, the government can't do that.
Here's
an issue. We're going to politicize it because this is what the liberal left does. They say, and this has already been going on for a long time. Well, if you're a climate change denier, you are this or you are that. Like, so it's not even being a climate change denier. It's me saying, well, there's big issues here with climate change. Oh, you're a climate change denier, you asshole. You're not a normal person. You're one of them right-wing conservatives. We're going to kill you. Well, okay, if you're just going to politicize it, hey, you know what? Let's talk about Russia and pouring mercury in the rivers. Let's talk about China and how they're polluting the environment. And you want me to jam my ass in a Prius to fuck you. Fuck you. That's what I'm saying. Fuck you, Gina McCarthy. Bitch. That's more than I've sworn in 100 episodes.
Got it out. Yeah, so much for the alphabet there. Hops of the F word. Here's how I picture climate change deniers. You're a Superman fan. Have you seen the original?
More of a Batman guy, but
okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen the original with Christopher Reeves? Right.
Yeah.
In the opening scenes, when Marlon Brando, who plays Carl-El's father,
right,
Jor-El, is trying to tell the Council on Krypton, look, the planet is not stable. We need to get the freak out of here. And in the meantime, he's developing a capsule to get his family out.
Right.
But it changed too quickly, so he can only get his son out, who came to Earth and became Superman. So, to me, I look at climate deniers, and I just picture the Council on Krypton when the planet starts breaking apart. They're like, oh, shit, he was right. that's kind of how I see it. But I'm not a government official, so I can say that. She's the, like you say, the head of the EPA. So
I'm not a climate change denier.
No, I'm not saying you are.
There's a thousand issues that we have here. Yeah.
And to say that the liberal left is the only people doing this, the crazy right looks at people who believe in climate science as
sorcerers. You're absolutely right.
Right?
I mean that's the gist of our podcast, right?
Right.
That's the gist of our podcast, to deny far left and far right and say, what's the truth? As we see it sitting on our couch. The truth is, as I see it on my couch, we all need to start taking care of our damn environment, right. and the government needs to think about it, because as an individual, I can only do so much.
Right.
But I also know that China's out there, and they don't give a shit. Russia's out there, and they don't give a shit. South America's bulldozing rainforests.
Right.
So there's bigger issues than you telling me to turn my damn thermostat to 68 degrees, Or I'm not a normal person.
In winter, by the way. And there are people from this administration who've come out and said, look, unless these other countries start moving on this, it doesn't matter what we do.
Right.
It won't, like...
I just hate the politicization of it.
Even the offer of, well, but it's got to start somewhere. You've had people inside the Obama administration say, no, it won't... It will not, absolutely not matter... what we do today, if China if some of the bigger Eastern European countries don't get on board with this, throw your tin cans out in the street and burn oil in your backyard, because it won't matter. There's right. nothing we can do as the United States. It has to be a global operation. And like you say, Venezuela, some of these other countries who are burning, who are now just now getting into the big oil industry, look, they're going to be polluting the environment for a century. So, yeah, I don't know what the point of this was. She was trying to do here, other than stir a hornet's nest of all the, you know, and
politicizing the agenda. It. That's what she's doing.
And it's already has. So what's the? You yeah. know what I mean, this is a very small log on a gigantic fire. What's the point of that? Why Gina. Buy that grief? You know what I mean?
Gina, call me, but you ain't gonna like it, girlfriend.
Yeah, don't tell you that right now. Don't call Gina.
All right.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Francis, if we have a bigger sunny apocalypse than the one we just talked about, I don't know what it is, but go ahead.
This is a great segue here, because this proves what a not normal person you are, because you deny climate science. Two men fishing in a Jersey, South Jersey, that is, lake, pull up a fish that has human teeth.
No.
Not like it swallowed, like, teeth from a human corpse. The teeth in which it uses to eat and survive are human.
They're actually human teeth?
Look at the picture. You'll think someone slapped a friggin' set of dentures in this fish's mouth.
This is disturbing.
Yeah. He's just now seeing the pictures. His whole argument against climate is dropping like a veil. This is what's happening. Now, this fish is... Yeah. I mean, how long before he grows human feet, walks right out of the lake and starts talking?
Well,
he's got the mouth for it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not all, but the front row, the bottom front row of his teeth, of this fish's teeth, look like a human mouth.
I forget
what town in Jersey. I wasn't familiar with it, even though I'm from there, but I forget what town it was, but... Yeah.
Delron? Delron? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Swedes Lake. It was actually a pacu, which is a South American fish. It's a relative to the piranha, but it's not...
Yeah, those aren't piranha teeth.
It's not a man-eater. But those are... Those are spooky looking.
That sucker could eat an In-N-Out burger with them teeth.
Yeah.
So... Fish with human teeth,
With human-like teeth. New Jersey family identified pacu fish with human-like teeth. That's some shit right there.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at it forever thinking, well, this has got to be some kind of Photoshop. And if it is, I couldn't figure it out.
We're going to have to get... What's the guy that does that show on Discover where he goes to the rivers and... And does he looks for the fish? Damn, what's his name? I watch the show sometimes.
I know not what you speak.
Yeah, we need to get him down there.
I'm too busy out saving the environment.
Bless you, my son.
Oh, it's cold. Whatever happened to global warming? It's cold.
Oh, son of a bitch! All right,
hey folks, let me tell you something. Hump is burning his own hole in the ozone right now over this EPA thing. They're gonna look. The EPA is gonna come shut us down because you're damaging the productive layer
of
the earth.
Don't fish in New Jersey. You'll be eating humans,
Or at least take some dental floss if you do, because
they got molars. For God's sakes, I didn't see canines, but I saw molars.
Yeah. Well, the front row, it's bizarre.
Spooky.
I mean, you know.
Spooky. They were thick. Okay, folks, this is UFUF 96.
Yep.
3, 7, 8, 9, 100.
That is... if that's not a sign of the apocalypse, I don't know what is.
Well, Francis, nobody's stopped us.
Which is surprising, considering the crap we say.
Well, I don't think any... You know what? Really, I don't think anybody's listening. Got the balls to stop us.
Well, that's probably true.
I'm just going to be aggressive after my son's Father's Day post on social media where they basically said I could kick anybody's ass.
Oh, he did say that, yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah, I took offense to that, but I tried not to get involved.
Well, thank you for that.
I don't get involved in Facebook spats.
Because it was just Sun Pride stuff. Oh, yeah. And no, I appreciated it.
No one, hey, look, no one does Facebook talk like your son. Let me tell you.
Josh is a
connoisseur, my friend.
He's a classic Facebooker. Yes, he is.
He has graduated from the dinner picture posts. some of his stuff is pretty epic.
It is. So, hey, folks, let me ask you this one question. Do you have your copy of Dad's Behaving Dadly 2?
Yeah.
No?
Go out and get it.
I'm disappointed with you. Go out and get it.
That's it. Insult the readers. Good. That's good.
Go out and get it. Francis, my podcast partner, is a published author of Dad's Behaving Dadly 2. So make sure you get your copy.
Still frighteningly surprising. But
and
yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or the website itself, Dad's Behaving Dadly.
And we'll be back next week with UFUF 97, in which we cover more craziness and more bullshit.
Sure, if we're still here. Yeah. If the government hasn't scooped us up by then, yeah, we'll be back.
All right. Love you, people. We'll see you next week. Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.